All right, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning. Just seems like a good place to be today as we're the presence of the Lord as we sing our praises unto God, and we think of the great things that He has done for us. The Scripture teaches that if you've been forgiven of much, you love much. Amen. And our topic this morning is that of Thanksgiving. And of course, we're just moving down the list here that we probably grew up with. If you've been in church for any length of time, you recognize this quote unquote list. I don't mean to call it a list, but it kind of always was to me growing up. And we even had some songs that we would sing with these verses in it. And rejoice evermore, for this is the will of God. Rejoice evermore, for this is the will of God. Rejoice evermore. I could have wrote that one. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then we'd say, pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Anybody ever think of what the next line may be? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so as we did in the song, I guess it would be open for discussion, but here as we come into verse number 18 there, and we are talking about Thanksgiving. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And even though that in Christ Jesus concerning you is wrapped up with the in everything give thanks of verse 18. There's many that believe, and obviously the ones that wrote the song as well, that covers all of these, that rejoice evermore, the praying without ceasing, in everything give thanks. It is of note this morning as we think about these, and I know that we also went through verses 14 and 15 in reference to leadership and just life in the fold, as been our theme, and we're just continuing on with that, and really just talking about life in the body of Christ. And this, if one would come into our congregation this morning, maybe an unbeliever, an outsider, one outside the faith, and would come and sit in our midst, they may not know much about us, they may not know much of Scripture, and may not even know much about the Lord at all, may not know the stories of the Bible, the events that you or that we're so familiar with, the works of Christ, the miracles that took place. Our hope would be that they would leave us with, I don't know a lot about them, I don't know what kind of people they are, I don't know their life, and many of them I don't know their name, but I do know that those folks rejoiced. I do know that they were prayed a lot. And also, they seem very thankful. They seem very thankful. And so that would be our hope, that people would leave from us and that this would be said of us. Because when we do think about how that God has truly worked in our life as individuals, how that He's called us unto Himself, that we realize that what God has really forgiven us of. We realize that, you know, maybe our lives may not be or may not have been what people would say, you know, just a complete wreck or a disaster, but yet knowing ourselves and knowing our own bents, and we know that what God has forgiven us for, maybe just things that, you know, we not even, others aren't even aware of, but we know that God has done a work in our life. And the response to that is that of thanksgiving, of gratefulness. And that's really what we're talking about, right? We're talking about a grateful heart. And just kind of, just to point this out this morning in reference to the rejoicing and the prayer and the giving of thanks, there's words attached to each of these verses that just show a continuation. It's not just rejoice, but it's rejoice evermore. It's not just prayer, but pray without ceasing. it's not just being thankful, but in everything, give thanks. So really, those words, you know, a lot of times we'll get caught up on in everything, give thanks, because, you know, that taken and gone to seed would be, you know, when we spill a cup of coffee in our lap and the thing's hot and it burns our legs. And I've seen people do this and they say, thank you, Jesus. Well, maybe so, but I don't typically do that. I usually try to get the coffee out of my lap. It's more the thought of just a continued lifestyle of rejoicing, of prayer, and of thankfulness. So it's not so much in, well, every little event that happens, I've dropped something on my toe or something, I'm just to give thanks. It's not that. It's more of, Lord, in every day of my life, I'm rejoicing. In every day of my life, I do not omit prayer. And I do not allow unthankfulness to enter my life. Now, I'll say this, is when we think about being thankful, think about being thankful. When we, the very word is that of contemplation. Thankful. We're thinking of what God has done for us. We're looking back and realizing the change that's taking place in our life. And it's really in the fold, in the body of Christ, it's different than being born just naturally, you know, the natural birth. Because, you know, when a child comes into the world, when they're born, they really don't come out of the womb being thankful. That's something that's taught. You got to, you know, the Bible teaches to train a child in the way they should go. So there's a training that takes place in the life of a newborn or in the life of a young child. We're instructed to do that. A parent would be really neglecting their responsibility that God has given them in the very act of giving them the child if they don't teach that child or they don't train up that child. And we've looked at that before and how that word just, you know, it means to point them in the direction. Point them in the way that they should go. I think of it this way, that if you want to know, if you want to see the natural event, or if you want to see how a child naturally is, just leave them to themselves. Let's just take my front yard this morning. Think about what is the natural state of our front yard. Is it nice and trimmed and cut? Is it green and planted? And no, it's probably going to grow up. There's going to be all kind of weeds there. There's a cultivation that must take place if you want a good yard. There's work that has to be done there. You say, well, I just like mine naturally. Well, that's okay, because that's what you're going to get. You're going to get what naturally comes. But if we look at a child in their natural state, they're not going to be thankful. They're not going to be grateful. You teach that. You teach a child. If you give them something, you know, if they're untaught, if they're untrained, if they don't like it, they'll just say, I don't like that. Well, that's a natural response. But obviously we know that when we teach, if someone's given something, we teach our child, listen, you may not like it, but be thankful for it. You know, show thankful, say thank you for this, or what, you know, when if you, the worst thing in the world is to give someone a present for Christmas, and a small child, even at whatever age, and they just kind of throw it to the side, like, I don't like that. Because naturally, they're not thankful. Now, here's the distinction this morning. In the life of a believer, when we come to salvation, when we come to saving faith, there is a supernatural thankfulness that enters our life. And it just comes from the new birth. I can't remember ever having to teach or be taught to be thankful for what God has done in our life. When the change has taken place, when God's moved, when His Spirit has come in and dwelt in us, that there is a thankfulness that just supernaturally, or that just comes forth from a newborn believer. Now, the problem is this, that so often we can allow things to come into our life and remove that thankfulness. And that's why in New Testament scripture, and even in the Old Testament, we're going to look at them this morning, the scripture is replete. It's over and over again, there's this instruction, or there's this command, I'll say, that to be thankful. Because it seems that the Spirit of God and the writers of this great word that we have this morning understood that our tendency to be unthankful. Now, here's the verse that we're looking at. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, help me to preach this morning and look over at your neighbor and said, in everything. In everything, give thanks. In the whole. The word there means the whole, or whatsoever, or daily. And so that's what we fall back to, is that we're called to have thankfulness, or to make thankfulness, or for thankfulness to be in our life continually. And in the heart of a believer, that should be so, right? Why? Because we understand the great things that God has done for us. Unthankfulness is part and parcel to an unbeliever. Even the book of Romans chapter 1, it talks about those that says, because when they knew God, it said they glorified him not as God. What's the next line? Neither were thankful. Man, you cannot expect thankfulness for those not glorifying God. We've come together this morning and we've sung the songs of praise from hearts that have been touched of God, hearts that have been forgiven of our sins, hearts that have been a stony heart removed and a heart of flesh put in its place. And that word flesh there doesn't mean that of carnality. It doesn't mean that of sinfulness. It just simply means that of, when you think of a stony heart, you just think of someone, you talk about being hard-hearted. They're just not touched by things. There are things just not really, you know, part. They're not moved easily. But when you think about a heart of flesh, it is a heart that is easily touched. And that's when we think about what God has done for us, that we have been forgiven of much. We've been forgiven of much. As some of you know, Shell and I just got back, well, really last night. We went up with some of my family to New York, and we were walking around Manhattan there in Times Square, and I wanted to go up a few blocks. We didn't really have the time to do it, but I wanted to go up. There's a church there, Times Square Church. It's a church that was started by David Wilkerson years ago, and he's since died, and I don't know how you feel about David Wilkerson. I have mixed reviews as well, but I think he was a good man. I think he did a lot of work. He worked for the Lord. And Shell was sharing with me, because I told her, I said, Times Square Church is, you know, just a few blocks up here. And she was sharing with me, because she had read a lot of books there, I guess the story of the cross and the switchblade, about Nikki Cruz. And just she was sharing with me there what she knew about Nikki Cruz and how, you know, his life, he was a member of a gang. He had done much wrong, much sin. I don't have to go into the details, but I don't know the details. But it was very clear that he was a ruthless person. He was one that would probably think nothing of taking a life or taking from you or abuse or whatever. And in the story of the cross and switchblade, it's about how that David Wilkerson, God called David Wilkerson to him and placed, you know, opportunity there, and he ministered to him. Well, make a long story short, if you're familiar with the story, you know how that Nikki Cruz gave his heart to the Lord, and now he is a minister of the gospel. And I don't know a whole lot about him, but weeks or months ago, I can remember I was watching something, and I seen this man, and I didn't know who he was, and he was speaking to the congregation. And I listen to a lot of preaching, so, you know, I was just listening to this guy, and I don't even know how I ran across it. But one thing I noticed about this guy when he was preaching, you know, there's so much out there. There's so much junk out there, and you got to be careful what you listen to. So much haughtiness, so much pride, and many people just kind of, you know, building up themselves. But one thing I noticed about this man was his brokenness. It's like he couldn't talk without just like a tear. He even had a tear in his voice. It's like everything about him. It's like he just spoke of one that was just easily moved and easily touched. And I don't know a whole lot about this man, but it turns out it was Nicky Cruz. And as I listened to him preach, and I didn't hear a lot about it. So if you heard Nicky Cruz say something that upsets you, I'm sorry. I didn't hear it. All I know is when I listened to him talk, and when I found out who he was, I was like, okay, that explains it. Why? Because that man had been forgiven of so much. And he was there, he was, and he wasn't really promoting Nicky Cruz. But when you listen to him, he was promoting Jesus Christ. And why? Because God had touched him and had forgiven him of much. And if you've been forgiven of much, how many knows you love much? Amen? You love much. And so I just sensed that in him. And I was moved by that. And I thought to myself, and I prayed, I was like, God, don't ever let me get to the place where I forget what you have done in my life. No matter what situations may come, and this is why the warning and the reminder is all throughout the scripture of thankfulness. Be thankful in everything. Give thanks. Don't ever omit thanksgiving. Is because it's easy to allow the events of life and maybe our lot in life to remove that and think, well, what really do I have to be thankful for? And the reality is we've got much to thank God for. And as we just in the rejoicing that we looked at, when Jesus told him to not rejoice because the demons were subject unto you through the name of Jesus, but he told him to rejoice because your name is written in heaven. It's just like it is with thanksgiving. We come this morning and we are thankful to God, not just because he's provided our natural needs, but most of all, because our names are written in heaven. We rejoice, we pray, we rejoice evermore, we pray without ceasing. In everything, we give thanks. Thankfulness is a part of our life, just as when we are first saved and that thankfulness enters in. Let us guard against allowing unthankfulness to sneak in the back door. In everything, give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. God, thank you for salvation this morning. Lord, thank you, God, that you have called us to yourself, that we are, listen how he put it here in verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ. In Christ, in Christ Jesus, concerning you. Now, there's one thing that we've got to guard against, or maybe one that would say, okay, I've heard the preacher preach. He's talking about rejoicing. Yeah, I don't rejoice that great, so I need to do a little better than that. He talks about, you know, praying. My prayer life's really not that great, so I need to pray a little more. And thankfulness. I'm not that thankful of a person, so I need to work on that as well. But in reality, what we really need to know this morning is that we're in Christ. Because it's in Christ. It's in Christ. I did this yesterday evening coming back on the train. I went through the scripture and I was looking at all the places where that phrase in Christ is found, just briefly, just to kind of get, you know, we talk about Christ being in us. And that's accurate. I mean, you know, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so we understand when we talk about being filled with the Spirit of Christ, that, you know, we've got Christ in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Bible says. But let's not also forget the fact that we are in Christ. And the scripture, even though it's not often mentioned, just maybe a few times, we contrast that to being in Adam. Or outside of Christ, in our natural state, when we talk about being in Adam. There's really one thing the Bible says about being in Adam. Anybody know what that one thing is? In Adam, all die. That's it. What do we have in Adam? We die. Listen, this is just a short list. It's not comprehensive at all. This is real quickly. I wrote these down. In Christ, this is what we have in Christ this morning. In Christ, we find redemption. In Christ, there is no condemnation. In Christ, we find the law of the Spirit of life. In Christ is the love of God. In Christ, there is sanctification. In Christ, we are made alive. And we contrast that to being in Adam and we're all die. In Christ, we are a new creature. In Christ, we are seated together in heavenly places. In Christ, we are made perfect. In Christ, we find grace. In Christ, there is salvation. Amen. And it's in Christ, it says, and this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In Christ, we find the will of God. How many is thankful this morning that we are in Christ? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, the Bible says, he is a new creature. A new creation. Old things passed away. All things have become new. So when we're thinking about rejoicing, when we're thinking about prayer, when we're thinking about thanksgiving, our concern is that are we in Christ? Because if not, the other things are just trying to do a little bit better. It's just trying to, what can we do to improve ourselves? Here's what Ephesians 6:6 tells us. Now, this was instruction to the servants to masters, but it's relevant here this morning because I just want to read it this way. It talks about servants to the masters. It says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Amen. Here it is. For in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, that doesn't mean that this is the only will of God. It's not like we're just called to rejoice, to pray, and to be thankful. It's not the only will of God. Matter of fact, Paul says earlier in this same book of 1 Thessalonians about their sanctification and to keeping themselves, that it is the will of God that they keep themselves from uncleanliness. And so this isn't the all-inclusive will of God, but we find that it is the will of God for us to be thankful, but it is also the will of God for us doing the will of God from the heart. Amen. Not just our will this morning. We're not just being thankful because, okay, I got to be thankful. We're not just being thankful because or rejoicing. I need to rejoice more. Preacher's preaching this morning. He's preaching to me because he's looking at me and I ain't worshiping during worship service. So I got to do better. I got to worship. Or I'm not praying and he's telling me I need to pray. So I'm going home and I'm going to pray more. No, it's from the heart. Amen. God, let this come from our heart this morning. Praise the Lord. Let it come from our heart. When we get up, you know, when the tears begin to flow, it's why? It's because it's coming from our heart. It's because of what God has done for us. It's not just this external thing that we're doing. Look what Hebrews 13:21 is talking about the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. It says it this way, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, okay, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Father, work through us to do your will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. So when you're hearing the preacher preach, when you're reading the scripture, and you're hearing about rejoicing, you're hearing about praying, don't let it come away from that saying, okay, I've just got to work harder at this. I've got to do better at this. No, come away from this and fall on your knees to God and say, Father, Lord, touch my heart. God, change my heart. There's something that I haven't guarded against unthankfulness. And unthankfulness has come into my life. And Father, I need a touch from you so that I'm thankful. And God, Lord, let me remember the pit from which we were dug. Lord, let me remember what you brought me from, the corruption or the bondage that I was in before I come to faith in you. And God, just restore that thankfulness from a heart of thanksgiving. Amen. A thankful heart. A thankful. Now, I know it's timely message this morning. Why? Because we come right up on Thanksgiving. It's the month. You got a whole month to get ready for this. And this is the time when you all gather together and we get that good food. I love Thanksgiving. Some one of my favorite holidays, if not my favorite. There's just not a lot of pressure. You're not running around having to make sure I got this gift or that gift. You just come together and you eat and you be thankful. Maybe watch some football. That's a good holiday to me. Being with your family and your friends. And being thankful. Now, when we go up to my mom's, we'll get in the kitchen and get ready to eat, and we're standing in a circle, and we all got to go around, and we got to say something we're thankful for. And we're standing there, and, you know, I know these people. I grew up with them. But sometimes still, it's kind of, you know, it comes your time. Okay, what am I going to say? What am I going to be thankful for? And, you know, it just sort of, it doesn't come from the heart so much. But every now and again, somebody, whether they've gone through something or they've had some hardship or something in their life that they've struggled with, or all of a sudden here comes the tears. And you're like, oh, okay, that's from the heart. I mean, that's just not something that we, God help us to be thankful. Let that thankfulness come from our heart. And for being in Christ that has removed that heart of stone and given us that heart of flesh, that there's a song out now that talks about from the inside out. Not from the outside in, but from the inside out. God, let the directive is given, and Lord, the dynamic to perform that which you've commanded is from the work that you've done in our life. And the power, the movement comes from, Lord, the work that you've done, not some fake thing, not just saying, yeah, thank you, just because that's what you're supposed to do, but doing it from a heart that's been touched, a heart that's been changed, overflowing with thanksgiving. Look what how Colossians puts it, how Paul says it over here in Colossians chapter number 2. Talks about, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, verse 6, so walk ye in him. Says, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. It says, you've received Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus Lord, so walk ye in him. You've received him, now walk in him. And it says that you're rooted and you're built up in him, which means we're rooted upon the truth of the word of God, right? That's our foundation, Jesus Christ, apostles' doctrine, all that. That's how we're established. We're not just telling you just to be thankful this morning. I don't know how in the world, you know, an unbeliever or an atheist celebrates Thanksgiving. Because to be thankful, there's got to be an object of thanksgiving, right? We're not just talking about being thankful to some nebulous power out there, not some force that really has nothing to do with anything, or fate, or chance, or luck, or our DNA, all these things. No, thankfulness has an object. But when we're being thankful, it's because we understand that someone has done something for us. And because of this, it says here, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And that word abounding there actually means to, like, run over or to spew over. And it's sort of like, you know, a lot of times at work, they give me a hard time at work because I'm walking through the plant and I always got this little coffee cup full of coffee. And I carry it out like this. A guy told me the other day, he says, "Is your arm stuck like that?" I said, "No." But, and you know what happens? A lot of times somebody will bump me. And you know what comes out of that coffee cup that's filled with coffee? Coffee. You know what comes out of a heart full of thankfulness when it's bumped? Thankfulness. Gratitude. What, you know, when we're bumped, whatever we're full of is what comes out. I mean, if you're full with thanksgiving, when we're full of what Christ has done for us, it just comes from us. It just comes out. Why? Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Man, our mouth, it's a great revealer for what's going on in here, isn't it? Think about that. What's going on inside? Say, "I don't really know what's going on in my heart." Well, listen to what's coming out. And that will tell the tale. And here, if we're just grumbling and complaining and say, "Woe is me," then that's unthankfulness. But if God, thank you, and in everything, that's tough. In everything, give thanks. It's hard to preach on thankfulness this morning without looking at the story there in Luke's gospel. Really, it's unique to Luke. I'll do this quickly this morning, but I want us to see it. Luke 17. We're all pretty familiar with it. We've heard it preached at some point. But it's a story about 10 lepers. And in the story, when Jesus, well, look at verse 11 there. I'll just read it real quickly. And because it speaks so much to us this morning, it says, Luke 17, verse number 11, says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." It says, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. It says, they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' It says, and when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Then fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.'" This is one of those stories in the Gospels that we're very familiar with. We've heard it so many times, and I will not come to you this morning saying I have some great new understanding. I think the message is clear. And that is this, that we have these 10 lepers, and we understand what leprosy is. It's a terrible disease of the skin, the appendages, terrible thing that was prevalent in the land, really, during this time, really as much as any. And here Jesus, walking through the land, as he was on his way to Jerusalem, passed through Samaria and Galilee, and there were these 10 lepers there. We don't get a lot of information about the 10 other than they were 10. And apparently one of them, at least, was a Samaritan. I tend to think it was just one, but that's just, you know, an assumption there. But here we have the 10 men, and as they're standing afar off, because for obvious reasons, because they have this dreaded disease contagious, and you couldn't, you know the whole story there about them yelling unclean and having be isolated from their family and all. And you've been in church any length of time, you've heard one preacher or another fill in about 15 minutes on what leprosy is, And so I'm going to avoid doing that to you this morning. But the whole point is that they were isolated, and they saw Jesus afar off, and they cried out, "Master, have mercy on us. Master, have mercy on us." It says, and when he saw them, he says, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And as, it says, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, I'm not going to do a whole lot with that this morning, but it's just interesting how that, you know, there was another leper. Now, these are 10 lepers. 10. This is miraculous. I mean, obviously, even one healing of leprosy that took place, actually, it was earlier in Luke chapter 5, and that where Jesus healed one man with leprosy, and that was a great miraculous event. But now we have him healing 10 at one time. Jesus heals the leper over in Luke 5. And as he healed the 10, they said, "Have mercy on us." He says, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." Over in 5 and 14 of the single leper that was healed, he says the same thing. And he charged him after he had healed him. He heals him. "I will be thou clean." And he says in verse 14, "Tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, according as has Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." So the direction or the instruction is probably the same when he tells them to go show yourself to the priest. And you can read Leviticus 13, 14 on your own when you get opportunity, about that whole process that took place when someone was thought to be cleansed from leprosy. And so really, it's interesting that in Levitical law, even though, of course, you know, I don't know a lot about leprosy, but it seemed to be pretty much, you know, the end if you got leprosy. But yet still, there was a part of the law given, a process of cleansing that the law of Moses gave, that if someone was cleansed or thought to be clean from leprosy, that they had to go through this proving or this cleansing process. And it really was a long process. It took about at least 8 days. And, you know, there was a couple birds. One bird had to die, and one bird was left alive, and all this stuff. You read it there in Leviticus 14 if you get opportunity. There was a lamb also that had to die, and all this was, it took about an 8-day process. But here we find these 10 lepers that as they go following the instruction that Christ gave to them, go show yourselves unto the priest. It says, as they went, they were cleansed. And out of the 10, it says, and one of them, when he saw. So here he's following the instruction that Jesus gave him. And it says, as he went, they were cleansed. And one of them, as he saw. Now, here's, you know, were they together? Had they separated? It's hard to say. I do know that as a Samaritan, if he's going to the priest, he's probably not going to go to the same place as a Jew would go. I think about the woman at the well where she talked about the mountain Gerizim, I think it was, where the Samaritans would worship, and Jerusalem, you know, where the Jew would worship, and there was always a separation. The Jew had no dealings with the Samaritans at all. The whole story there at the well again. But here we find these 10 together. One of them a stranger, Jesus calls him, or a foreigner. That word's often used for a non-Jew. And here we find, whether it was one, we don't really know. We don't know the proportion of Jew, Gentile. We don't know. But we do know that one that returned was a Samaritan. May have been more, may have been less, may have been all. I don't know. But we do find that one was cleansed. And he returned. They all, as they went, he saw he was cleansed. He turns around. And his immediate response is to do what? Go to the one that he knew had cleansed him. And it says, and he went back, and with a loud voice, glorified God. He just began to worship. Why? Because he'd been made clean. Amen. It says he went with a loud voice. He glorified God. He went and found Jesus. However far he'd gotten, we don't know. It says he fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Glorified God with a loud voice, fell on his face before God, and give him thanks. I mean, this has been a lot of order in a lot of churches today. Amen. May giving thanks and worship never be out of order. May worshiping God and calling out to the Lord in thanksgiving never be out of order. It says, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Well, they're probably doing what you told them to do. Probably going to show themselves to the priest. But it seems what Jesus is saying is that, you know, when you're cleansed, when you're made clean, the response is that of thanksgiving. And it says this man comes back and falls on his face before the one, but the other that were so caught up in, you know, what they thought, well, I got to do this. We got this process. We got, according to Levitical law, we got 8 days to get this done. I want to get on with my family. I got this. I got that going on. I'm ready to go get this cleansing process underway. And here comes this one back, falls at the feet of Jesus and says, thank you. He says, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said to him, rise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go, he says, rise up. He falls at his feet. Man, think of what Jesus said to the woman at the well. She says, well, our fathers worship in this mountain. You Jews say we should worship in this mountain. What did Jesus say? He says, the time is coming, and now is when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Meaning what? That the time coming and now is, he said, were the true worshipers. So can we say that this man must have been a true worshiper in the sense that he understood that this master that they had called out to was more than just a man. It was not unnatural, or maybe it wasn't uncommon is probably a better word this morning. It wasn't uncommon that when the multitude saw the works of Christ, that they would glorify God. And here this man, this leper that has been cleansed, turns and falls down at the feet of Jesus and gives him thanks. And Jesus says, well, where are the other 9? Meaning this, that, you know, our cleansing, the natural response of that is that we give thanks to God. That we fall on our feet before the Lord. And he says, go thy way, he said. Now, I don't know. I'm not willing to say this morning that when he says, go thy way, because that could also mean still go do what I told you to do. I don't know that for certain. But I do know this, that this man understood the one that had done the cleansing. Because it says that he found and returned to give glory to God. He gave glory to God, saved this stranger, as he fell down at the feet of Jesus and gave glory to the one that really had the power to not only cleanse the leprosy, but also to make him completely whole. Amen. Aren't you glad that Christ has made us clean this morning? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, Father. In everything, in every circumstance, in every day of our life, even though our life at the point may not seem conducive to thankfulness, whether we're going through a sickness, whether you know, there's brokenness or some emptiness in our life or loneliness that we may be facing right now. Man, our God is not, he's in complete control, isn't he? When we think about, you know, our foundation, and we talked about this a little bit in reference to the rejoicing, and it's this, that we talk about the providence of God. that we understand that God is in control, and that's what gives us the strength to be thankful and to rejoice, knowing that what he's done in our life, but that he is still on the throne, that he has divinely ordered our events and our life, our outcome. Really, when we talk about providence, that's what it means. It means to see before. He's able to see before. And God knows the end from the beginning, right? I know that's, you know, we've been taught that all our life. I knew that as a little kid. I knew that God knew the end from the beginning. I knew that he wasn't just sitting in the heavens waiting on things to work themselves out, but he was in control. I mean, we haven't forgot that. Thank God that we know that God has everything in his control, and that because of that we can rejoice. And I often think of the example in the Bible given of the life of Joseph, and how that, you know, if you look at his life and the events, he couldn't go to the last chapter of, you know, of his life and say, well, here's how everything's going to work out. Joseph was like you and I. He just had to go through the process. He had to go through the events. He had to go through the prison. He had to go through the trappings of Potiphar's wife. He had to go through being forgotten after he interpreted dreams and all. But yet through it all, we just find him still being faithful to God. We find him still showing a thankful heart. And then when he gets to the very end of his days, when he's already made the prime minister of Egypt, second only to the Pharaoh, we find where God used him in a great way to supply for his family and for his brothers. And when his brothers are standing before him and they're afraid that Joseph, after the death of their father, is going to take their life, what is it that Joseph says? He says this: you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Man, he didn't give him a pass and say, oh, no, you guys are cool. Don't worry about it. No, you meant it for evil. That's the same way Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. He said, by the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you did this. God was in control, but you still did it. Joseph told his brothers, listen, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And God is able to work all things out. Amen? He's able to work all things, work together for the good, to the called, according to his purpose. Amen? God's able to do that. And that's what we stand on this morning. We understand the providence of God. We know God's in control. And God, let our thankfulness this morning come from a grateful heart, from our heart. Not from our will, although our will is involved. Our will is definitely involved. But yet, what our prayer is, God, touch our heart in such a way. Don't let my heart get hardened. Guard your heart, the Bible says, for out of it flow the issues of life. Amen? The direction. God, speak to our heart, God. We pray that way. We even sing songs about it, Lord. Direct our steps, Father. But Lord, it's by your Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. God, we are grateful, Lord, for the work that you have done in our life. God, for, Lord, our salvation, our sanctification. Lord, our no condemnation. Father, the list is just goes on and on. All the things, God, that you have given through us, through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we are so thankful for that today. God, as we go through our life and events happen and circumstances, Lord, that maybe we didn't see coming or that hurt us. And, Father, struggles that we face every day, God, many, Lord, that battle with sickness, even today, God. Lord, that let that not take away thankfulness out of our life, God, but let us be thankful in everything, give thanks. God, as we rejoice evermore, as we pray, God, without ceasing, Lord, let thankfulness, Lord, be from our heart, God, in everything. We give you praise for it. Lord Jesus, God, guard our hearts, Father, in Jesus' name. We give you praise for it, in Jesus' name. Let's all stand at our feet this morning as Shell leads us in a song together. Praise the Lord. We praise you, Father.